feel like I now have okay. to refer Shlomo because everyone else is.
We were discussing the union of Mechabe and Mavir. Mavir and Mechabe.
Extinguishing and.
Kindling and extinguishing. In that context, we mentioned that driving car on Shabbos is a veritable.
One way ticket to.
Okay. Fine, good. It is a way to rack up Malachos Deraisa because every time the engine rotates, it causes a spark, which is a malach of Havara. There is a following discussion. Yes.
Doesn't the Talmud say that we should say that if you perform more than one of malacha, you offer only one chatas?
If in the same period of forgetfulness you do so b'shogeg, that is correct. You only offer one chatas. Yes.
That doesn't apply to Maisie, which is clearly the case.
If it's Maisie,
like how do you accidentally drive a car?
It would be probably...
Right. You'd have to be pretty, you know, pretty out of it to not know that driving a car on Shabbos is also, or that
so
it's not Shabbos, if you forget that Shabbos
so
somehow.
If you forget Shabbos, or you forget, it's, you forget that driving is... if you don't know...
If you don't know that driving is also on Shabbos. Is okay, there is a discussion about whether you can give directions to somebody driving on Shabbos. This is something which happens once in a while. Let's say somebody is driving, and you're walking on the side of the road, and they ask you for directions. So on the one hand, you don't want to participate in their Chil Shabbos. They're Jewish. You don't want to participate in their Chil Shabbos. On the other hand, you know, if you don't give them directions, then maybe they won't know how to go. They'll end up driving longer.
Didn't even if it's a guy.
What does that do with if it's a guy?
Because they stopped because of me. They stopped their car because of me.
Well, one issue is if you're crossing the street.
Crossing
the street is different than giving directions.
Oh my God, is that a thing?
And if I stop walking, right, they're slowing down. And
I walk and they stop.
I don't think it's a. You don't have to worry too much about this.
Okay.
If a guy is driving a car and he stops the car because there's a person waiting to cross the street.
What if I'm being nice?
Okay.
What if I'm nice and I tell them to go?
Okay. It doesn't matter. Either way, it doesn't really make a difference whatsoever.
If my dad and my sister are walking at noon and on Chavez, and this guy stopped, and this other guy was texting and like destroyed the guy's car.
Oh
and
my
stopped
gosh!
Them
wow. In that event, 1 second. Let me just mention this discussion. I'll take some questions, okay? So, they're opposed to on both sides of the equation. Shamati b'shem Rav Soloveitchik, that he held, give the directions, either directly or indirectly. But give the directions. This way, he'll end up driving less. I think I heard that name, Rav Soloveitchik. Definitely some posts can say that. Rav Lichtenstein told me that he didn't feel that way. That he said that this guy is doing like 8,000 malachos, so the difference between 8,000 and 8,010, you know, he doesn't, it's his problem already at this point. He doesn't want to have a share in it. He doesn't have a chelek. I'm not going to tell you where to drive on Shabbos. So he thought to just say, no, I don't care. Whatever.
You don't want to start like a whole.
Well, you can't say, I don't know if you do know, because I'd be like,
well, I'm positive. I'm just.
Okay, you can gesture and indicate that you are, you know, not not giving him directions. Okay, so that is a discussion I just wanted to mention. Okay, it's not clear to me that it would be a problem for you to go to the crosswalk and he'll end up having to stop the car. It's not clear to me. It's true that he's stopping the car and that'll cause him to do an extra malacha. Lamaisa, he's doing as we said again. It could be that enabling someone to do causing someone to do an extra malacha. Here, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're walking. He's the one who's violating the halacha by driving. So if because of the fact that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, he ends up doing 8,001 malachas instead of 8,000 malachas, is that my problem? It's not pasha that that's necessarily a problem. In any event, I don't know. I don't want to give a clear... I don't want to say that, you know, I'm not taking a stand on the issue of making him stop for you. Yeah, did you have a question?
Yeah, so do you have a non-Jewish driving a car, and you're walking on the sidewalk, and like he sees you, so he's like, you know, pulls up slowly and is asking directions, right? Are you allowed to stop walking?
Are you allowed? I don't think it's a problem for you to stop walking. I don't think it's a problem for you to continue walking.
And as soon as you stop walking, they're going to stop their car.
Okay, so you're his purpose. He's doing the malacha for his purpose right now. He's not doing any malacha for you. It's entirely for his purpose.
He's doing it so he can get directions.
Okay, that's his, for his purpose. You're talking about a guy. He's doing it entirely for his purpose. I need him to go somewhere.
So
am I asking him to go somewhere? He wants to talk to me, so he slows down. That's his problem.
You argue the same thing. That
it's not his problem. It's completely different.
The same thing like crosswalk, it's true that you need to cross the street, but he's stopping because it's the law. It doesn't have
to be. Fine. Okay, maybe he's stopping because he doesn't want to get in trouble by not stopping. Okay, I'm not. It's not clear to me that it's also to do that. As I said, it's not at all clear to me that you're not allowed to, you know, be at the stopwalk at a time when a car is coming. I would be noted to say that you are allowed to. Yeah.
So what was the answer? What did we come up with in the conclusion with giving directions to another?
I wouldn't do it. Rav Lichtenstein told me he doesn't do it. It makes sense to me also.
How do you explain it in a way that you won't offend him?
Shrug him off.
No, to a non-Jew?
To a non-Jew is different. I'm talking about to a Jew.
You know where it is.
Okay.
You're
shrugging mumble. I don't know how you could possibly be driving on Shabbos.
The Israelis here tend to be very aggressive, so I'm just wondering.
You'll be okay.
All right. I'm sure if an Israeli asks you for directions, the minute you start talking, there's some driveway.
You say in English.
I do not know. Yashar, yashar, acha, tamagia, legehenom. No, I'm kidding. Don't say that. Okay. In any event,
that's what they say. If you ask for directions,
that's one issue. I wanted to mention another issue, which I've already brought in for show and tell. It's my third time in a row, and finally we're getting to it. This is a Shabbos clock, an Israeli Shabbos clock. Israeli Shabbos clocks are not the same as American Shabbos clocks. In America, there's different types of Shabbos clocks. In Israel, this is the primary type of Shabbos clock that people use.
It's the only type of one I've seen.
In fact, Jonathan has not seen any other types. Let's discuss. Seeing as included in this malacha, we discuss a little bit, not fully, but a little bit, some minyanim relate to electricity and grama. So let's talk about Shabbos class, because this is something which is very practical. So in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchisa, he says as follows. Okay. Now he's talking about a Shabbos clock like this, where as you see, the times that it's connected or not connected all depends on these little, what do you call these things? Pegs. Or pegs. I don't know. I don't know what to call them. This is the dial. These things are not dials.
Pegs.
I don't like the word pegs, but okay. If they're pushed down, that means one thing. And if they're pushed up, that means a different thing. I think down means that it's on and up means that it's off. Okay? See how it goes? These yellow things.
Oh.
Okay.
Some
have red instead of yellow.
I have blue.
And Jonathan has blue.
I got some grays.
Now, Rabbi said, let's say it's pointing over here, it's at 4 o'clock. So if I will move these pegs up or down, that will not affect anything that's going on right now. In terms of what's going on right now, it'll continue functioning as it's functioning. Okay, so am I allowed to change the positioning of the pegs and thereby impact when it will be on and when it will be off? Let's say we're talking about a light. When the light will be on, or it's a plata, when the plata will be on.
It's like tying a guy up and it's dark outside and it's going to kill him when the sun comes out later.
Okay, fine.
Two different things.
So I'll tell you. So the Shmir Shabbos Hilchos says as follows. Let's say the light is off now, or the plata is off, or whatever it's attached to is off, and I want it to go on earlier, and I flick the switch to make it go on earlier, so that's what we would call grama. Okay, now, as we have pointed out, grama, malacha ayde grama, indirect causation, is not permitted. It's not permitted, it's aser. Midrabanan. However, it is permitted under certain circumstances. For example, in the case of a chole, or a case of a great financial loss, then there is room to be makel when it comes to grama. So if it's for the purpose of a chole, okay, and you want to make it go change earlier, go on earlier, go off earlier, you'd be allowed to. But under normal circumstances, you would not be allowed to do that. You would not be. One second. I'm going to explain a few things, and then you can ask questions. I'm not taking questions in the middle. Don't talk in the middle. Okay? Let's say there's no chola involved. There's not a great, great financial loss involved. But it's convenient for you. You know what? Last week, you had lunch at whatever time. But this week, you're going to have lunch a little bit later. Or you're going to have dinner a little bit later. You want the lights to stay on longer. You want the plata to stay on longer, whatever it is. So in Shemir Shabbos Kilchos, it says as follows. To extend an existing condition is permitted. What are you doing? Let's say it's on right now. Or it's not on, but it will be on. And I want it to stay on longer and go off later. So he says, all I'm doing when I go ahead, see here, in this realm it's on, now I'm going to push another one down. So it'll stay on for an extra 15 minutes. It'll go off 15 minutes later. Shoot, which one did I change? Okay. It'll go off 15 minutes later. So he says, you just extended an existing condition. That's indirect causation of nothing. That's indirect causation of keeping it the same. So that would be permitted. You'd be allowed to extend. Okay, you wouldn't be allowed to make it switch earlier, but you would be allowed to extend so that it would switch later. You can make, if it's going to go on at 4 o'clock, and I say, you know what, I don't need to go on at 4 o'clock. Let it go on at 4:30. I can switch these things up. And then, it's not going to go, instead of going on at 4 o'clock, it will not go on at 4 o'clock. I'm just extending the already existing condition of the fact that it's off. Once it gets to 4:30, I didn't touch that I said before Shams. The fact that it's going to go on now at 4:30. Okay, so you can extend an existing condition and make it switch later. That, he says, is very clear. Then he gives a further chiddush, which is, first of all, fascinatingly enough, for Yontiv, he writes in the Shmir Shabbos, that for Yontiv, the iser of turning on a light, if we're talking about, so that iser is only midrabanan, because the malacha of havara is mutter litzarech. It's midrabanan of molid. So he says, grama for the iser midrabanan, he thinks that would also be mutter. So therefore, obviously, you wouldn't be allowed to turn on the light right now. But you'd be allowed to even make the light go on earlier on Yontif. However, you couldn't make it go off earlier, because kibui, the whole malacha is not mutter. So further chiddush when it comes to Yontif. Okay? Alright, he has further details about this. If anyone's interested, check out Shmir Shabbos Kilchos Perek Yud Gimel Seif Chavav. Okay, but that's some basics. Yeah. Now, what I just want to point out, if you have a type of a Shabbos clock, like some of the ones in America, so it works completely differently. There's like a dial, and there's like pegs that are completely removable, that you put in at a certain time, and then that causes it to change functions. If you take out that peg, let's say the peg is going to make the light go on. If you take out that peg, now the light's not going to go on. When you put it in, let's say to go on later, now you're making it go on. You're making it go on. One second, no, it wasn't going to go on at all when you took that peg out, and now it's going to go on. So that is a problem. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about one of these type of Shabbos clocks where each thing is its own 15 minutes. Okay, when you turn one of these pegs, that doesn't change anything right now, nor does it mean that it's not going to go on. It just, as we said, each one is its own thing, and you're allowed to extend an existing condition. Okay, you have each type of Shabbos clock. You have to understand how it works. Okay, so that is that's an important ha'ara. With the American ones, in theory, if you would have an extra peg and put it in later than the one that makes it go on now, and then take out the earlier one, so then perhaps the heter would apply in that case. But in any event, it's the heter of the Shemir Shabbos is talking specifically about Shabbos clock like this. Okay, which as we said, in Israel, is the vast majority. Yeah.
What's considered a financial loss, a great loss?
A big financial loss, you know, a number of dollars.
I'm saying, like, what's considered one? If you're going to lose like $500, is that considered a big financial loss?
Okay, it depends on the person. It's a little bit subjective. Okay, having the electricity on for longer, that's not a financial loss for sure. Okay, that's not. It doesn't. It's going to cost you extra money. That's not a significant financial loss. Yeah.
So on Yom Tov, it's only drop on and turning on a switch. If you use a shinoi,
turning on a switch of what?
A light.
According to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's derabanan.
Right.
Okay, if you hold like the Chazon Ish, that every time you you do anything to a circuit, it's deraisa, it's tikkun mana, so then that would be on Yom Tov also, it would be deraisa. Shlomo Zalman's that Shlomo Zalman gives of the grama of the of making go on earlier on Yom Tov is based on his shita that it's not tikkun mana, that it's a issa derabanan, you know,
so it's based on that.
Based on
that. Can you use a shinui and just.
No.
Because if it's derabanan.
No, you can't just do a shinui. There's a difference between doing a derabanan alide grama and doing a derabanan alide shinui. We don't let you just do malacha derabanan alide shinui on Yom Tov. No. Okay, if you're talking about, once you get into the discussion about chole and the like, so then we had that discussion. Back when we talked about chole. Okay, a dispute about the different levels of what's permitted for a chole. But in the normal circumstances, not. Okay, yeah.
That's grama.
So on Shabbos you can't turn it on earlier?
On Shabbos you cannot make a function happen earlier, but you can extend a function so that something happens later.
So let's say if, the case of, if, a room is very cold and the kids are going to get very cold and everything like that, it could possibly get into the room sick.
Okay.
What's the call?
So you want to turn on the heat? Okay, so for cold, as we saw when we talked about medicine, if it's very cold, very, very cold, so then we consider people to be potential cholers, and especially if there's a young child. Okay, so it doesn't mean you could just flip on the heat. Would we make it to allow you to have a guy do it? Or would we make it to allow you to do it ayde grama? So if you have a Shabbos clock involved, okay, and you want to make it go on earlier than it otherwise would have, or whatever, you want to make it go on, so it's not immediate, not flipping the switch and it's going on. Okay, you're setting the clock so that it'll go on, at some point. So then we would allow that. What if that's not the case and you have to just, flick the switch, the actual switch? So then there's room to discuss that. Look, this heter would only be, as you said before, malacha deraisa ayde shinui b'makom chole. So that is the subject of dispute, as we saw when we talked about refuah. I think that in exigent circumstances there might be room to be megal, but I think that one would have to be very. I think that would not be a first resort or a second resort. Okay, usually when it's cold, unless it's extreme circumstances, there's other things you can do. You shouldn't get into this. You shouldn't get into this shayla. Okay, you put on the extra sweatshirt. You put on the extra, blanket, etc., etc. There's no reason for us to go running to do malachas b'shinui.
Was it Rav Moshe that really
didn't like
timers?
Rav Moshe Feinstein was very against Shabbos clocks. Why? He bekoshi allowed it for lights, but for nothing else. Yeah. The Minhag Olam is not like that.
Yeah.
Minhag Olam is not like that. Yeah. Okay.
What did he say that was wrong with that?
It's Avshah de Milsa. It looks like malacha activities are happening on Shabbos. It takes away from the whole, Anyway. All right, we'll talk about it. We talk about it when we talk about Makkah B'Patish. Oh, we happen to be up to the Malacha of Makkah B'Patish. What a coincidence! But we're not ready to talk about it just yet.
Oh,
first, I have to talk about other things. Okay, so if you have your list of malachas, we are moving over here. Makkah B'Patish, and then we have Hotzah. We have to talk about Eruv, and we talk about Muktzah.
Two more.
Only a couple of things, few things left.
What's next?
After Pesach, Bezras Hashem, Kashus. Very Kashus. Okay. We'll talk about something. You want to talk about some Hilchos Pesach? We can maybe do some Hilchos Pesach. Okay. Makkah B'Patish, just to understand in terms of the Av Melacha, where it comes in here. So, what we've had here is a series of Melachos pertaining to building, construction, right? Obviously, Bona, but all these Melachos here. So, Makkah B'Patish literally means striking with a hammer. Striking with a hammer, is an interesting name for the malacha, because very often striking with a hammer can be a different malacha, bone. If I take a hammer and I hammer a nail into a wall, so that would be bone.
The final blow.
It's the final blow. We call gemar malacha. In poskim, usually this malacha, makkah patish, is referred to either as Gemar Malacha or a related point of Tikkun Mana. Mana in Aramaic means Kli. Tikkun Kli. Tikkun Mana. Okay, fixing something. Okay, in terms, what it basically is like this. If you're making a Kli, so after you finish forming the Kli, and it's all done, and it's made, so then what they would do is they would take the hammer, they would take the anvil, and they would just give some light, you know, some light hits to the Kli in order to smoothen it out. Okay, so this is considered, what's that? It's the finishing touches. Finishing touches. This is after the main construction is done. Okay, just to clarify, it includes all Gemar Malacha. It's not limited to striking with a hammer. All Gemar Malacha. But what that means is, it's part of the production process, but it's the final stages after the main procedures have been done. Basically, when all the other malachas are finished. Okay, so then if it's the final stages and it fixes something or completes it, or something that you do in the production stages at the end, so then that would be a malacha of Makom Patdeish. We'll give some examples. Yes?
Would that be like having like, if like some threads are hanging out of any of your clothes to like pull it out? Because that'd be like finishing touches.
So it depends. You know, if you have it, let's say you have your suit jacket and a thread falls onto your jacket, so then to take it off is not,
no.
It's not Makom Patdeish.
Like my tie, one of my ties that I have, it's slightly poorly made. I mean, it's a good tie, but for some reason like the threads are loose on the sides. So if there's like a thread hanging out, I can pull it out, it'll come all the way out. But if
okay.
That would be
yeah.
Like at the end, finishing touches to make it look.
So that's the problem, right? One of the classic examples, actually, of Makom Patdeish is just that. That when they make clothing, so you may have some loose threads that are still on the beged. So that when you take those off, that would be Gemar Malacha. Just as another example. One second. If they, sometimes you buy, let's say you buy a suit or something, and you're going to have it tailored. So they'll mark it off with soap or with chalk where they're going to do it, and they might put a pin in to right? So to take out that soap mark, or to take out that pin, that's Gemar Malacha. Okay? The main Malacha has already been done. They finished sewing it, but they didn't take out that pin. So that would be Gemar Malacha. On the other hand, if they make a shirt, and now they just fold it up for you in order to for packaging purposes, for shipping purposes, and they put pins in it, so that's not part of the construction process of the shirt. The shirt is completely finished already. You can take that out. That's not a problem. That's not Gemar Malacha. Okay. Again, as we said, it's part of the production process. It's at the end, the finishing touches.
So
yeah.
Wouldn't it not apply for Avi's tie because it's already been like it's already made and everything, and he's already worn it, so it's not the finishing touches. It's really just making it like beautifying it, but it's already the finishing touches
yeah.
Already been put on.
Okay, I don't know. I think in that case, anyway, it's a problem because it's threads that are sewn into
tikkun.
Your tie. So if it's not tikkun, it's korea. I think it's a problem. Yeah.
Aren't you? I mean, so saying you're over this before taking the nilah though.
Say again.
You sewed up the whole.
Sewing is its own malacha. After the malacha of sewing is finished, when you go ahead and do that finishing touch so that it's ready to wear, that's the gemar malacha.
Yeah, you're already over the first. You're already over malacha.
Let's say you did the sewing on Friday, and now you're taking out the pin on Shabbos.
Do you bring another? Like who has to bring another carbon?
First of all, you might, but second of all, as I said, maybe you did the sewing on Friday, and now you're doing the taking out the thingy on Shabbos.
Okay.
Maybe you get your suit back from the guy, and he made the he hemmed up the pins, but he forgot to take out the pin that was holding it in to show him where to do it. I don't know. Could happen theoretically. Could happen.
Isn't the problem with riding a bike on Shabbos because you're afraid of the chain?
Okay. One thing at a time. This is gone jumping. First, we have to discuss the malacha. Then we'll talk about the rabbanans or shemas or shema yisakin, etc. You're right that the main issue that people discuss when it comes to bikes is shema yisakin.
But bikes 100%. We know.
Okay, I'm not getting into the discussion of bikes. Let's look at a few examples here in Shulchan Aruch, just to sharpen this definition of the malacha that we gave, which is the finishing touches, but only if it's still in the process of production, the initial production of the item. So turn to Shin Mem Sivches. Okay, this is a little bit all over the place, but we'll jump around. question, man. Siv Ches. Okay.
Mokim shel naflu min hakeses al motar lachziram aval Israel itnam betchila hakeses.
Okay, so we're talking about stuffing that comes out of a cushion or a pillow on Shabbos. You can put it back in. However, you cannot initially put it in for the first time on Shabbos. What's the difference? Is putting in the stuffing into the cushion, is it a problem or is it not a problem? The answer is, if you're putting it in for the first time, so that's called tikkun mana. Now you're making it into a useful cushion or a better cushion. This is called tikkun mana. Once it falls out, it was already in there. It was already made. It was already a cushion. It was a completely finished cushion. And now it falls out, so you're not making the cushion anymore. You're not completing the cushion. You're just putting the stuffing back in. So then that would not be a malach of tikkun mana. Again, it's no longer part of the production process. The malach is only if it's still in the production process. Obviously, you could have a situation where something gets so broken that it's not considered a cushion anymore. And now you're back to the construction process. Okay? But each case, we'll have to figure out where that point is. How broken is too broken that you're, it's not a functioning item anymore. Now you're back to production. But over here, for example, so this is the halacha. Putting in for the first time, that's called production. If it's already in and now it comes out and you're just putting it back in, that's not called part of the production, and that's permitted. Yes?
If you would not use a pillow inside a pillowcase, can you put a pillow inside a pillowcase on Shabbos?
Putting a pillow in a pillowcase is certainly permitted.
Different.
Okay?
Why is it different?
That's definitely fine.
You're making it
useful. Let's look at another example. Shin Yud Zayin Sif Beis.
I think
that's your Shin Yud Zion.
So
it's not Siv. Okay, he asked the question. We suggested, we gave an answer. It's fine. Shin Yud Zion. Siv Beis. Okay, fellas. Shin Yud Zion Siv Beis, and then we're going to go back to Siv Aleph also. We're going to do Aleph and Beis. This is a 2-for-1. Yeah. Zach, go ahead.
Mishmitu Ritzua Minau Vithanda Osh Nishman Rov Harega Mutar Lachzir Ritzua Limkoman Velvad Shalo Yikshor.
Okay, so it says here, let's say your shoelaces come out of the holes. So you can put it back in on Shabbos. No problem. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Kav Tes Zayin. Go ahead.
Aval bin minal chadash atzer leitein over to al b'shabbat abil iman nekev rachav di mitakin mana.
Uh-huh. So he says, however, if it's a new shoe and you're putting in the shoelace for the first time, that would be called tikkun mana. Continue on. Alright, you know what? Hold off for that. We'll get back to that case a little bit later. Okay? And similarly, look in Sifkan Yud Ches, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Yud Ches. Go ahead. Okay, another case of Misakin Mana. If you take out those shoelaces and now you're putting in a different shoelace, even though the shoe is not new, but the shoelace is new, putting in a new shoelace, then you've gone back to the stage of putting together your shoe. A shoe goes along with a shoelace. At least old-fashioned shoes do. So they go along with the shoelace. To put in the shoelace for the first time in a new pair of shoes, or to put a new shoelace into a pair of shoes, misakin mana on Shabbos. On the other hand, if it was already in, and now it comes out of the holes, to restring it, to re-put it in, so then that's not misakin mana. You're no longer in the stage of production, so to speak. And that is entirely permitted, yeah. So I would not recommend doing so on Shabbos. No.
What if you don't?
No.
But it's not like you can't.
Adding on to an already existing kli, even though the kli is functioning, adding on something that was never there before is a problem of tikkun mana.
What about the other way? What if you buy shoes and they come with laces in them, but the styles to wear without laces?
I don't think it's a problem to take out the lace.
You wouldn't wear the shoes with the laces in.
You wouldn't wear the shoes. That's a style, isn't it?
You wouldn't wear the shoes. I'm saying, like, you wouldn't wear them.
I don't think it's a problem to take out the shoelace.
What if you want
to
take them out?
That's just a style issue. It's not because it's not functional.
What
it's a style
issue. You want to take them out because you want to put in new ones.
So putting in the new ones is a problem on Shabbos. So you can't do it.
But can you take them? You can take them out and just not put new ones.
Well, that's already now it's achana. Now it's achana. Okay. Okay. We mentioned that it's possible to go back to a stage of production, to finish the stage of production, and then go back. So look at Sif Aleph. Okay. Shin Yud Zayin. Sif Aleph. Who do we got? It's really. Read for us Sif Aleph.
Kosher Kesher Shel Kayama Vu Maisa Uman Chayav. The Goan Kesher HaKamalim, the Kesher HaSabhanim, the Kishre Ritzuos.
Did I say Sif Aleph? I meant Sif Gimel. Excuse me.
Here in base had Savar, Mikesher She Kisharo, Kobes, Sheino Kesher Shakayama, Abo Aim Postodoso, Kardash, the Maskin Mano.
Okay, we saw this once upon a time when we talked about Korea, we talked about Kosher Mati, but now we're seeing it from a different perspective of Tikkun Mana. So in those days where they would make shirts, they would sew up the neck hole. I don't know why they would do that, but they would. So then, to open it up, so that was called Tikkun Mana.
That's like this.
Okay? On the other hand, one second. On the other hand, when they would send it to the cleaners, so then they would close it up again, but it wasn't really closed. It wasn't really like sewn closed. It was just like tied closed. So then to open that up, that's not Tikkun Mana because the Beged has already been entirely completed. Now look here in the Rama. Okay, so he says, however, so the Rama adds here that even if it was already opened, but then the Uman went ahead and re-sewed it well in the way that's professionally, you know, so it's similar to the manner in which it's sewn up when it's new. So now to open it up on Shabbos again becomes Tikkun Mana. It had already been opened once upon a time. The Beged had been entirely completed and it was past the production stage. Okay, but when it was sewn up tightly, when it was tightly sewn up again, so then that undid the completion of the production, and the production has now been reopened. And now it will be a malacha to go ahead and to reopen that hole. So sometimes it might be even a little bit hard to tell. Have we gone all the way back to the production stage or not? So I'll just give you a couple of examples here. We mentioned this once also, in the context of, I think, Mechatech, but again, from the perspective of Tikkun Mana. So we mentioned that in Israel, a lot of times they sell these like yogurt containers or the hummus containers, and it comes attached. There's like two of them or four of them that come attached, and then you separate them. So, in Sefer Orchah Shabbos, quotes Rav Yoshev held that this was ushered to separate them on Shabbos, mitzad Mechatech, and also mitzad Tikkun Mana. He says, when you separate, now you have one full, ready-to-use yogurt container. And Shlomo Zalman said, no, it's not mechatech. That's what we discussed when we talked about mechatech. And it's not tikkun mana. It's completed already. They just attach it to the other ones in order for it to be easier to transport. But it's already complete. So this is not called the completion stage. It's a completely complete already, so to speak. So again, sometimes it's hard to know. Are you still in the production stage? Or are you not? Well, I'll give you another example. Rav Avadia Yosef deals with the following question. Let's say you have a sink that gets stopped up. Okay, it's not draining. Can you go ahead and pour something down in there that will loosen it up and that will allow it to drain again? Is that a problem of tikkun mana? So he says like this. He says, if it's so stopped up that literally nothing gets down, so then to go ahead and to pour something down, that's going to alleviate the problem. That's a problem of tikkun mana. On the other hand, if water is draining, but very slowly, much more slowly than you would like, so then it's not a problem of tikkun mana, because it's not broken. Okay, to make it work a little bit, to clear away the smudge and allow it to go through, that's not inherently a malacha. And the sink, has already been completed. It's not like you're making the sink for the first time. So in order for it to be tikkun mana, it has to be broken, so to speak. Or you have to be adding a new part, which was never there before. You're not adding anything to the sink. So it's only if it's broken. Broken means it's not draining at all. Okay, so then you'd be back at the production stage. If it's still working, but not well, so then it would be mutter. That's what he says. Yeah.
Would it be a problem with the Twizzlers on Shabbos?
Eating Twizzlers?
Six of them are attached. You wouldn't eat the whole row of them in a row. You have to pull them completely apart.
No. That's not good. No, stop.
Oh, you would never eat
it. Silly as yogurt, things being stuck.
So maybe you can't take a bite of any food because now you're detaching that bite and making it. No,
but this is a bunch of food that are separate items of food that are attached together.
It's not separate items of food. It's one chocolate bar and you want to have one part of the chocolate bar.
Nobody eats them together.
Nobody eats any.
It's okay.
Caramel, you think
I don't think it's a problem. I really don't think it's a problem.
Hershey bar, some people just...
There is a discussion in general if the whole malacha of makev patish applies to food items. That in of itself is not at all pashut that there's makev patish by food items. And in this case, it's not even makev patish at all. I don't think so. I really don't. I think it's mutter. Yeah.
I'm not even related at all. You can open a bottle of wine on Shabbos.
Okay, we'll get to opening bottles on Shabbos. We'll get there.
If you're in yeshiva, you should be there.
Get there. Okay. Okay. There's no mitzvah.
You need to have a meat.
There's no mitzvah of Simcha and Shabbos. It's a mitzvah of Oneg, which is different than Simcha. But yeah. What's that? On Purim, there's no Isser Malacha. There's no Isser Malacha on Purim. So you're okay. And Purim, we don't have Purim on Shabbos. So it's fine. No, I understand. It's fine. Okay. The only shaila is when it comes to the bottles with the caps. That we'll discuss caps. Okay. Many bottles. I'm in the middle sentence. Go both sides. Okay. Bottles that come with a cork and then a covering over the cork. So that for sure is no problem.
Oh, it's complicated when there's words on the cover.
Okay. You have to try to get the cover out without, ripping the words, which is usually not a problem.
I'm saying on some bottles of wine, there's on the side.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. Usually that's very doable. And then it's just a question of the cork, which that's not a problem. To take out the cork and shot is not a problem. Okay?
Okay.
To make a few more ha'aras with regard to this issue of makev patish, just some more examples, some of which we've mentioned in other contexts. But you get a jacket. So they sew up the pocket in the jacket for some reason, I don't know why. So that would be similar to what we just saw over here about opening the neck hole. That is makev bipatish, to open that on Shabbos. Don't open it on Shabbos. That's what it is. So they don't put things in there when it's being sold.
They're all open, and people are going to all be open in the store.
Some people put it just so stuff's not in there.
That's what it is.
What are people going to put in?
Okay. In any event. I wouldn't think it would be worth their while to sew it up. Okay, but whatever it is. So to undo that, that would be a problem. That would be a problem of makev patish. Rabbi Ribia writes that to take off the sales tag, that's not makev patish. Again, this is the distinction between... The sticker ones are also for a different reason. I'm talking about the ones that are attached with like the plastic thingy. We discussed this once when we talked about Korea.
I took a picture of one for you.
What's it called again?
Brad. It's called a gun. Brad gun.
A Brad gun? Okay, whatever. In any event, that's already, again, you have to figure out what's called part of the production process and what's not. In this case, the argument goes that the article of clothing is completed already. This part of the process of making this article of clothing is not putting the tag on and then taking it off. This is something extraneous that happens afterwards, which is nothing to do with the production of the article of clothing. So he claims that would be permitted. Okay, so another example. To go ahead and put a pendant onto a necklace, so that would be makev patish. Doesn't look like a malacha maybe, but it's makel patish. On the other hand, he claims, if it's already on, then it comes out, and falls off, you could put it back on. That would be similar to the case of the shoelace that comes out of the holes. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll take a look for the next time. Have a great